Good evening, everyone. My name is Regina. I'm here on the behalf of the Zurich Hub for Ethics and Technology and the ICT for Peace Foundation. I will speak about autonomous weapon systems. And I will explain to you first what autonomous weapon systems, or lethal autonomous weapon systems, or what many of you may know under the anthropomorphized term killer robot, are. And then I will explain to you why autonomous weapon systems are developed nowadays in the world. I will present four big problems about autonomous weapon systems, and then I will say some words about the international political debate or answer to the development of those weapon systems. And lastly, I will say some words what I believe is missing when we approach this topic as an international community. Okay, so let's start. First, what are autonomous weapon systems? At the very beginning, I would like to highlight that there exists no general definition of those weapon systems that is accepted by the international community. However, the international community is discussing about the development and also about the potential ban of such weapon systems. Definitions are, on the one hand side, limiting, because today's definition may not capture tomorrow's technological development, because we do not know about tomorrow's developments today. However, definitions are also helpful on the other hand side, because they are reference points for discussion. If we have a definition, every participant in the debate knows what's on the table and what has to be discussed. So this presentation starts already with a dilemma. However, we will continue nevertheless, and it will help to clarify at the beginning what autonomous weapon systems are not. They are no killer robots. They are no killer robots today, and most probably they will not be killer robots in the future. The most precise way of presenting the essence of an autonomous weapon system would be actually this: a blank page. Yes, because what makes a weapon system autonomous is a very sophisticated software. And this software, or those softwares, are developed based on recent developments in the scientific fields of machine learning, robotics, computer vision, machine perception, sensor processing, but also psychology and biology and others. So hence, in a nutshell, the core characteristic is not an object. So nothing that we can touch, that we can visualize, or that we can imagine before our inner eyes when we think about a weapon. I'll give you two brief examples of highly autonomous weapon systems that exist today. Here you see about 13-14 loitering munitions developed by a Turkish weapons producer called STM. They are called Kargu attack drones, and Kargu means hawk or tower on a high mountain in Turkish. Loitering munitions are like a hybrid between a drone and a guided missile. And those Kargu attack drones can operate in a swarm of about 30 small little drones. If one enters the target coordinates, those drones can autonomously fire. And the Kargu attack drones are one of the first systems deployed that can find, track, and kill people without human intervention. And it is suggested that these systems are deployed at the Turkish-Syrian border at some point. The second example is this one. It's the Dassault Neuron. It's an unmanned combat airplane. And with the Dassault Neuron, the flight control and the combat management function autonomously, according to the developer. That means without human input. And despite the fact that this aerial vehicle might seem quite big, the wingspan is only 12 meters. And in what follows, we will come to understand why they can become so small. So in order to approach the rest of this presentation and based on the two examples that I've given you, I would say it makes sense to adopt nevertheless one definition that is out there today, and it is the one that the International Committee of the Red Cross has offered. And according to this definition, an autonomous weapon system is a weapon system that can identify, select, track, and attack a target with little or with no human involvement. So, what are the driving forces behind the development of autonomous weapon systems? Why do we want to, or why do certain agents in the world want to develop and use autonomous weapon systems? First, as I have explained to you before with the two examples that I've shown, the key characteristic of the weapons platforms that you have seen is that there is no human pilot. No one has to fly, aim, and pull the trigger. And without a human pilot, there need not be any safeguards for her anymore. However, safeguards for a human operator or pilot was what has made a weapons platform in the past heavy, big, and therefore, and especially, expensive. Sometimes it must be highlighted, although I'm sure everybody knows this, that we do things in this world still for money. And autonomous weapon systems are cheaper. And this is a very simple reason why they are developed. And then second, an argument from what is called military operational necessity. As an autonomous weapon systems can take on certain tasks that classically a human operator has had, they can also function, let's say, by themselves, once, for example, communication links with a human operator or a human commander break down. Therefore, military operations may make the use of autonomous weapon systems necessary. A third reason is often termed as the outsourcing of the dull, the dirty, and the dangerous work. Classically, human soldiers had to risk their lives and had to take lives of enemy combatants or enemy soldiers. However, this task with autonomous weapon systems is outsourced to the software. And thereby, this is the fourth reason, those human soldiers do not have to risk their lives anymore. So there is a scaling down of human casualties. Less soldiers may die. And the fifth argument that I will present here is one from international humanitarian law. International humanitarian law governs what actions are permissible and what actions are impermissible in case of a war between one state A, for example, and another state B. And according to international humanitarian law, it is strictly forbidden to intentionally target civilians in war. However, civilians, especially in recent war, have often been targeted. And it is said that maybe autonomous weapon systems, if equipped with a very sophisticated software, could distinguish better between a combatant and a civilian on the battlefield. However, this is an argument at the current level of software development that is, to my knowledge, greatly without foundation. So, what makes autonomous weapon systems problematic? First, a technological reason. What makes a weapon system autonomous is a software, as we have said before. Now, this software is often so highly complex that a human being cannot comprehend why a machine or a software has decided or created the output that it has. That means it's very often impossible to locate the technological process of an autonomous system that has triggered its behavior. This means that those systems are not only unpredictable, because we cannot say with certainty how they act in the future, because they can decide what to do on their own, but they're also often unexplainable when we look back, so to say, when we try to understand why they have behaved in the way that they did. This leads to a legal problem. When they behave wrongly, when an autonomous weapon system, let's say, makes a mistake, when it kills a person that it should not kill, for example, we cannot understand why. And if we cannot understand why, we cannot say who is at fault. Is it the system? Is it the commander that used the weapon system? Is it the designer or the engineer of the weapon? Or is it the scientist that had offered the mathematical basis for the software? So now, as autonomous systems are used in situations where errors could put severe risks to humans, like in war or also in autonomous cars, the question of who can be made responsible or who is legally accountable in case we are hurt is very important. However, with autonomous systems, this question cannot easily be answered. This leads to a broader, let's say rather ethical problem. What does this generally show? The development of autonomous weapon systems shows that we are outsourcing control and responsibility of the most powerful and most destructive human capacity, namely to kill another human being, away from us, to a software. We are thereby reducing the space of human responsibility in the world. However, with all the challenges we face today, we have to claim responsibility to act. And with autonomous weapon systems, we are moving, in my opinion, in the opposite direction. And lastly, I'll say some words on a fourth problem. Autonomous weapon systems are problematic because they are potentially scalable weapons of mass destruction. Consider a classic weapon of mass destruction, an atomic bomb. With an atomic bomb, there is a so-called cataclysmic threshold. This means one either drops the bomb and there is massive destruction, or one does not. With autonomous weapon systems, this threshold does not exist. Consider the swarm of loitering munitions that I've showed you at the beginning. One may deploy 30, and then one may deploy 100, 1,000, 10,000, and more, and attacks could escalate smoothly. We can imagine that at some point in time, a cargo aircraft could carry a million of very small autonomous weapon systems, however, with only one or two human operators. Precisely because of their technological, legal, and also ethical novelty, the question of autonomous weapon system has been taken up by the United Nations Disarmament Framework, by a special group of governmental experts that has convened on an annual basis in the last 7.5 years in Geneva. However, also after 7.5 years, this group of state representatives could not decide on a legally binding outcome document that can regulate the development and the use of autonomous weapon systems. The campaign to stop killer robots, that many of you, I assume, have heard about already, is campaigning to stop the use and the development of autonomous weapon systems. They are campaigning for a ban of autonomous weapon systems. And today, about 30 states that take part in this international discussion are actually welcoming and supporting this call. So, what is missing? I'll not go into detail about the political or international political debates on autonomous weapon systems. One can add certain points, or maybe also many points, that are missing in this debate and that are problematic. However, I would like to make a different statement to end this presentation. There is this very big question always asked. What is the greatest potential of emerging technologies? And the answer, I believe, is the most important one, is the following. It is the light that those technologies can potentially throw on ourselves as humans. What do I mean by that? Artificial intelligence-enabled technologies allow us to outsource certain classically, inherently human tasks to software. and this allows us to give away control, creative action, and responsibility to technology. Think about the autonomous weapon systems. I've said earlier that the control and the responsibility for one of the most powerful and most destructive human capacities to kill another member of our species is outsourced or can be outsourced to a software. And this may limit the space of human responsibility in the world. So new technologies can offer us a moment to think about our fantastic human ability of creation, choice, decision, and responsibility for our creations, choices, and decisions, precisely because they risk us to either knowingly or unknowingly give them away. And I hope this presentation adds to the attribute knowingly. So if we are able to bring this very discussion out into the general public, it can give us the space and the power to reflect upon who we are as human beings with our creative abilities and choices. And then, in a second step, to either choose to keep and safeguard those human abilities where we can, or not. Thank you very much.